Rumbles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, going to jab steps, comes up shooting top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that.
And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us this week for a special NBA trade deadline special on Locker Room. It's going to be our first one, so go download it on the iOS App Store right now. Locker Room changed the way we talk about sports. Matt, that was a really ugly loss last night. After that Jazz run, and how are you, first of all, and how you doing? But that was another ugly punch in the face loss to one of the best teams in basketball. How are you, man?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, man, ugly, but I can't say unexpected. I'm sure some Bulls fans were hoping for that first, you know, signature win that hasn't really ever come yet. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. Dropped some disappointing games against Denver and San Antonio, and thinking maybe, hey, the Bulls can give the Jazz a fight. And that fight ended right around the end of the first quarter. I'm not surprised, man. This is the difference between a team like the Bulls who are trying to get to mediocre and going up against the class of the NBA right now. That is the result that you should expect. That marked the Bulls' ninth loss in their last nine tries against above 500 teams, whereas they have won their last 10 games against sub 500 teams. Do you sense a pattern? Which is why, you know, as we inch yet another day closer to that deadline, I am very curious and intrigued to see if AK and Eversley are going to make a big swing move now because they feel like they have evaluated enough and seen that these pieces are not the right pieces and that they need to do some serious tinkering.
I mean, just from your perspective, don't you feel like, I feel like for the majority of the guys, at least that we've been talking about in trades, feel like I've seen the majority of what I need to see in order to gauge their value. And that's something that we're going to talk about in the next couple of days, especially today, as a bunch of names have kind of been floated out there now among rumors leading up to the trade deadline on Thursday. But it's, when you say that, I didn't even realize that stat. 9 of 9 games trying to beat teams over 500. And a lot of those times, Matt, like if you go back and look at those games specifically, how many of those games did the Bulls do it to themselves, especially in the fourth quarter late? That's got to be accounted for something, but there needs to be change because they're going to continue to do this all season long. And I heard Billy Donovan kind of talk about the lineups that he used. I think he's kind of running out of things to do in order to be creative and try to like pull a trick or two out of his bag in order to save a win. Like I think that's pretty much over. The only person that you could pull out is Chandler Hutchison at this point. We haven't seen him in weeks.
And what is the likelihood that Chandler Hutchison is going to solve your team's issues of closing games in the fourth quarter?
Very slim. Very, very, very slim. I've been saying it for weeks, man. Just do something, because right now, meddling like the way that they are, even if you go on a downturn and do nothing, all of a sudden start losing games, maybe go below 500 after this All-Star break. Now, what did you end up with? The pick in the lottery, probably going to be somewhere between 9 and 12, right? So they got to make a move. I don't think upgrading and even upgrading slightly hurts them, and especially if they're getting decent offers for guys that have been floated out there the last couple of days, including Lauri Markkanen. I don't know what to tell Bulls fans at this point of like how I feel the what the front office is going to do. I just know personally I want them to do something, even if it's small, a small upgrade. Just do something.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there are two different routes they could go, as you're kind of, you know, describing, and generally you would refer to it as buyers or sellers. Are you trying to buy something to get yourself into a better position for a playoff run this season, or are you trying to buy future stock, essentially, and sell off a current piece that would probably hinder your team's chances of making the playoffs, aka Thad Young? I mean, honestly, it sounds a little crazy at first, but when you think about it, if you decide to sell off Lowry or Wendell at this trade deadline, does their lack of production really hurt your chances at a play-in playoff spot all that much, considering what they've given you, or better yet, what they haven't given you so far this season?
The funny thing is, it's usually just on one side of the ball, right? With Lowry being out, we were missing the consistent scorer, especially late, like next to Zach. A guy that can just do it late. And he was at, since he's come back, he's been hitting shots. But even when Wendell was out, our defense was terrible. We can't stop anything at the rim right now anyway. Without Wendell, it's horrendous. And I don't want to see... I'm sorry, I just don't want to see Luke Kornet or Daniel Gafford consistently. I know what Wendell brings, and even though he's struggled, the Bulls are better with him, not without him. So I think it's one-sided on both of those, but you're right. Totality, the Bulls have kind of figured out ways to get by already throughout this season without either one of those guys, both missing chunks of time. So you might be right, but my question is if they don't deal Lowry, are they willing to just let him walk if a team's willing to pay him $20 million a year, 80 plus over 4 years? Are the Bulls just willing to say, yeah, you know what, we didn't get anything, see you later, go have fun in Sacramento? Or
I maybe there will be some desperate teams that have money to spend and want to spend it this summer who would be willing to offer Lowry something like that, something like the 20 mil plus annual multi-year deal that he was reported to be looking for, and that the Bulls were about 4 million away from that in their negotiations that stalled last fall. If there are teams out there willing to throw 20 mil plus at Lowry, who right now looks like a guy who can maybe give you 16 and 6, I mean, is 16 and 6 worth 20 million? There are some guys in this league that are making ridiculous contracts that don't give you that. You know, parentheses, we've got one. His name is Otto Porter Jr. But I mean, I can't imagine that in year two of this new job that AK and Eversley would want to hamstring themselves by giving that much money to a player who isn't really earning it on the floor every night. And that might be why you decide, or you see them decide, to pull the trigger on an offer for Lowry in the next 48 hours. I am starting to think that it is very possible that, as you said, instead of losing him for nothing, which was a habitual action that we saw from this team's former front office and letting guys go for nothing, that AK and Eversley say, you know, we'll take the best offer that we see for Lowry right now that sets us up in the best position to move forward. Because the options are that, losing him for nothing, or overpaying him to match because some team out there threw him a $25 million offer.
The more you kind of lay it out, the more I'm coming to terms with, and I don't, like, they don't, there's nothing saying that they're absolutely going to deal him by Thursday. Nothing indicating that. He's been in rumors for months now, even going back to the NBA draft, but I think I'm like, the logical side of me, and what you just laid out is making me think that more and more so, especially we see more and more reports with him coming out, being a part of deals, and it just makes too much sense of where the Bulls sit long-term. And like, you're right, all it takes is one team too, man. All it takes is the Sacramento Kings to say, I don't know what Bagley is, and let's just get our surefire thing in Lowry, even if we've got to overpay him, Adair, and Fox, Halliburton, let's go. Like, that. It's just all it takes is one team. So AK said it in his introductory press conference, man, he's not a gambler, so he's gonna minimize risk at all costs, and maybe it is just dealing Lowry, and he wasn't their guy. He wasn't their guy. They didn't draft him, so they're not as attached, like you've said before. Maybe they just minimize risk.
The other element to this, and certainly last night's 3-for-12 effort against the Jazz was the latest example. Lowry's not doing himself any favors, and he's not doing the Bulls any favors as far as his trade value right now. You know, he had that his first game back against the Sixers where he just, you know, rained. I think it was 7-of-7 from downtown.
Yeah.
And had a 23-point game. After that, he's been shooting only about 33% from downtown and in the low 40s overall field goal percentage in like the next 6 or 7 games back that he's played. That's not great. As far as this dude's trade value right now, that is not great.
It's not. Let's finish up our discussion on Lowry. I want to play you a piece of sound on a hypothetical surrounding Lowry, and then we can kind of talk about some of the other rumors around him, and then maybe lead us to the other guy in the front court that we've got a lot of questions about. But first, I want to tell everybody about Locker Room. I mentioned at the top of the show, Locker Room is a new app. It's an audio experience. It's kind of like listening to a live podcast, and that's what Matt and I plan to do on Locker Room this week as part of the NBA's trade deadline coming up on Thursday afternoon. We're going to go live shortly after and be able to maybe do a live episode and then maybe take some of your questions after. If you want to be a part of the Locker Room experience, go download the free Locker Room app now. It's currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA, and you can even join the Bulls group for the latest league and team updates. Follow us at Locked On Bulls, me at Jordan C. Malley, to be notified when we go live and we do our first room. I know you won't want to miss that. It's NBA trade deadline week, especially if something happens. Make sure you download it before Thursday when we go live for the first time. Should be a lot of fun. See you there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports.
Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is also brought to you by RockAuto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything, engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. So whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals as do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much money for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
All right, let me play this really fast for you. This was brought up on Bill Simmons' podcast yesterday. I think even somebody on our text and voicemail line alerted us to it. So shout out to you guys for alerting us to all the rumors going on. We'll get into mailbag either tomorrow or sometime this week ahead of the trade deadline, kind of answer the rest of your questions. You can hit us up at 331-979-1369. So this is Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo on the Bill Simmons podcast yesterday, just talking about the NBA trade deadline. And the Knicks and the Bulls were brought up.
Marketing for Toppin, straight up.
I think I'd say no if I were the Bulls.
You'd say no if you're the Bulls?
Yeah.
Really? What do you do with Markkanen's contract this summer? You still have no idea if he's good or not. I personally would be trading for him, but what do you do? I mean, what if he's like, hey, I can make 80, I got an $80 million offer from the Kings. I think I'm going to take it, unless you guys match.
I know, that sucks.
Any interest? It's like the Bogdanovich thing. Hey, looks like Atlanta's offering me 75. You guys interested?
That's how I feel about the Oladipo deal, where it's like, hey, we got Oladipo for 4 years, max. You're like, awesome.
I forgot about the sideswipe to Oladipo. Thoughts, Matt? I know you said something prior to us starting to record. What was your initial thoughts on a Toppin for Markkanen type deal?
Well, I mean, as they said, you know, Russillo was surprised to see he thought he would think the Bulls say no. I kind of had the same like flipped thought of like, do the Knicks want that? Yeah, like, yeah, Obi Toppin is a very old rookie for today's NBA, but he's still a rookie. He is still someone who is under team control on a rookie contract for the next several years. Lowry is at the end of his, and if the Knicks bring him in for a half season tryout and decide they want to sign him, as you know, as they just pointed out, they might then have to match some offer from some other team that's the same situation that the Bulls might be trying to avoid right now. So even though they're similar in age, despite this being Lowry's fourth season and Toppin's first, I still feel like Toppin has more upside right now, if that's crazy.
You're doing what I think, what I just said a couple of minutes ago is like, if AK and Mark Eversley truly not gamblers, minimizing risk would be, let's try it on a, let's roll the dice on a rookie that we thought about even drafting in this, this prior draft. I mean, they had workouts with him. So there's some familiarity with Obi Toppin there. The only thing that just makes me curious is like, is Leon Rose really going to deal one of his guys, one dude that he reps? I know it's a business. I get that, but that was part of the reason. Like, they worked him out, wanted him, drafted him. Like, I guess to part ways with him, if they really feel like Markkanen's the guy and they're not going to get anybody here in free agency coming up, I just find it funny that Tibbs just, you know, picking pieces off of this Bulls team. But he would be a great, like, Markkanen would be a great fit next to Julius Randle and RJ Barrett. I'm a fan of that, man.
But on the flip side, I don't see Obi Toppin being a great fit for the Bulls right now, because you got Patrick Williams, and we've seen P-Dub play the three and the four, and we know that he can guard pretty much one through five. But on the offensive end, I see P-Dub long-term being more of a natural fit at the four. You could play him spot minutes at the three, but for the small ball stuff that we're seeing a lot, he is a perfect small ball four. And that's the position that Toppin is pretty much playing. So if the one piece that the new front office is set on keeping, being Patrick Williams, plays the same position as this guy, why are you in a rush to trade for him?
I mean, wing depth's not a it's not a bad thing to have. The Bulls never have that. So even if Toppin's playing 25 to 28 minutes a night, even if he's coming to start off the bench, I still see a fit here. If that's the type of guy AK likes. We've been talking about their mold since the draft and even after the draft, is like long, athletic dudes that can shoot, guys that move off the ball. Toppin's that guy. The only thing that I'm worried about with him is his defense. But I'm just laughing thinking about the possibility of like being able to run a super small ball lineup out there of like Williams and Toppin as your front court, just being able to just outrun every single team. But yeah, this would be like taking this as a true evaluation year and saying, all right, we're not nearly as far as we are. So like, this deal to me doesn't make any sense. Just where I think the Bulls are in terms of Zach LaVine wanting to keep him long term, this move just, I don't know. It doesn't make sense for either side.
I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense, no.
Let's move to something that you just told me prior to we jumped on. You said that Mike Schmitz had brought up the other piece in our front court right now, and that being Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah, so this was behind the ESPN Plus paywall. For those of you who don't pay for that, it is a column from one of the ESPN NBA draft experts, Mike Schmitz, kind of looking at some recent high-profile lottery pick guys from recent draft years, who have kind of been underperforming in their current situation, who might be people who could thrive in a new spot. And the very first name in this column is Wendell Carter Jr. And I'm sorry, like, I'll read this for y'all in case you didn't have access to this column yourselves, because it kind of made me laugh. So here is the first paragraph. In theory, Carter is the ideal center in today's NBA. On defense, he can guard away from the basket, offer some rim protection, and rebound. On offense, he moves well as a dive man, can pass out of the short roll, can make an open jump shot, and can beat a switch in the post. NBA scouts were enamored with how few holes Carter had in his game at Duke, and many thought of him as a better prospect than his teammate Marvin Bagley III, which has proven to be the case so far, even with Carter's ups and downs. I read that paragraph and I was just laughing. Like, was that just a copy paste of an old Wendell scouting, you know, work that he had done 3 years ago? But at least maybe he just inserted the phrase "in theory" at the beginning of a very same paragraph that he wrote 2 years ago. Because I'm sorry, other than yes, he can guard away from the basket, offer some rim protection. Note some, not a lot. The stuff about his offensive game, moves well as a dive man, not really. Pass out of the short roll, not really. He's certainly had some issues with that. Can make an open jump shot, not really. Like, what is this Wendell that Mike Schmitz is talking about?
You're missing it, man. Let me tell you why. Who did we talk about over the summer that was friends with some, got to be close friends with some insiders in the NBA circles? Somebody we just hired is good friends with Mike Schmitz. Somebody we just hired for this new regime. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Mark Eversley, man.
Oh, wait, how are they connected?
So those two go back a while. So when Mark Eversley was first hired, I remember going through Mark Eversley's Twitter, and I remember going through his, he had some old tweets, and it was all back from like a couple of years ago, and same thing with Mike Schmitz. There's a connection there. I'm going to have to dig deeper and back, but we brought it up a couple of months ago. Dude, there is, I just thought about that. When you said that again the second time, a light bulb went off in my head. And I go, I remember talking about this, man.
That makes way more sense now. Maybe this is Mike Schmitz doing his buddy a favor.
It's a pitch.
And he's trying to pump up Wendell's trade value with this column for Eversley and the Bulls.
Maybe with this LaMelo injury, too. I mean, they've got an expiring deal in Zeller at $15.4 million. They've got a point guard on that team, essentially, that is the odd man out. They're not going to trade Rozier. I don't see that. You've got LaMelo Ball, who we just got an update today that says he's going to be out about 4 weeks, hoping to return by the end of the season. But the guy that's the odd man out there, man, is Devontae Graham, who's played excellent off the bench, too. I've thought about this, but didn't think that this could be a possible scenario. Like, would you be willing to deal Wendell for a package of, like, Zeller and Devontae Graham? Obviously, there'd be more to fix the contracts, yes. But would you be willing to do that?
Yes, yes. Yes. And I would throw in sexual favors. Are you kidding me? If we could get Devontae Graham and only give up Wendell, I will do that deal 10 days out of 7.
You wouldn't only give up Wendell. Hold on, I'm doing this on the fly real quick. Wendell. So you said Wendell, Chandler Hutchison, and Thomas Satoransky to the Hornets. The Bulls take back Cody Zeller and Devontae Graham. Let's see if this goes through. It goes through.
Dude, done deal. As soon as the deal went through, I would run away laughing if I were the Bulls front office and I pulled that off.
Would you be even willing to throw in a pick swap for this year's first round pick? Would you pick swap with the Hornets? Whoever's got the worst pick gets to swap with the Hornets.
Right. Maybe. Yeah, I would certainly consider it.
Man, I think we just talked ourselves into a realistic hypothetical trade. I think that makes a ton of sense.
Okay. Obviously, different positions, and you would have to talk about how Devontae Graham fits into the Bulls, backcourt situation. But Devontae Graham is a hell of a player, and I think that he still has a lot of room to grow. And what I have heard from reliable sources is that, and it makes sense, as you just remembered that whole Eversley, Mike Schmitz connection, that totally makes sense conspiracy theory wise. What I have heard is that Wendell's trade value around the league right now, zero. Not lower than we wished it would be, zero. There is zero interest in Wendell Carter Jr. around the league right now. That's probably hard for a lot of the Wendell stans to hear, but that's what I have heard from a pretty reliable source. So if the Bulls were able to pull off that deal and only give up Wendell as, you know, the piece of their core pieces, quote unquote, I would absolutely make that deal.
I think it makes a sense for both sides, man. if you really think about it, and even say, like, say you do the pick swap this year, even throwing in a couple second round picks, I don't think hurts. Or maybe even potentially talking about another piece outside of just Satoransky. Like, there's, I think that there's room to work with in terms of pieces that could go back and forth between the Hornets. I think this is a good trade partner, at least to keep something cooking. I'm thinking about who else came over from the Sixers, too, that's on the coaching staff. Somebody else did. I'm going to have to go back and do some research, and we do an update tomorrow on this. Kind of, but there is somebody else linked to the Sixers coaching and player development staff that the Bulls hired that could be involved in this, too, just as I'm thinking NBA conspiracy theory-wise. And again, this is just us talking through stuff, but man, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if that is true and the Hornets are linked to them, let's see in the next 48 hours if anything comes to fruition. But out of the two, who would you rather trade, Markkanen or Carter right now?
Man, I think I would rather trade Carter. At least Lowry shows you some stuff sometimes, and maybe he'll stick around on a discounted deal. And yes, Wendell's still young. He's not even 22 yet. But I'm sorry, I just don't see it with Wendell, man. I don't see him being a viable option as your starting center because he's too small. And I don't see him as a viable option at the four because he can't shoot reliably. P.S., you got P-Dub waiting in the wings. And his confidence issue to me is significant. I know we've talked about Lowry's aggression being an issue, but Wendell's head, getting in his own head shit, man, it is a giant flashing red alarm to me. It's just so obvious that dude gets stuck in his head and just falls out of the game mentally. And I wish that I was someone who was not giving up on Wendell, but I'm pretty much, I have pretty much given up on Wendell, man.
I think you can get, like, I know you just said that there's the trade market is zero for him. Even if you waited to this summer, I think that there's more teams that would be, you would get more in return for him if you're willing to roll the dice and don't think that Lowry is going to make somewhere around $20 million over 4 years. Or if you're willing to even spend that. I don't know if AK and Mark Eversley are willing to even go up that high if they truly believe in Lowry. Any of the case, I've leaned back and forth. I think in terms of where this Bulls team is currently and what they're trying to construct with Billy Donovan, I think Markkanen just makes more sense. He makes more sense. Carter, I think you can get more for. But you telling me that right now, I flip-flop back and forth every single day, and I think this is what Bulls fans do too, man. Honestly.
Yeah.
I talk myself out of both guys.
Do you trade Lowry or do you trade Wendell? And it could be that the most likely outcome now is that neither of them are here long-term.
That's for sure. Quickly, we went on, this was a weird avenue, but I want to talk quickly about Oladipo and Brogdon as two possible trade pieces. But first, want to tell our listeners about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers you for awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bet, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Today's episode is also brought to you by our great friends at Built Bar. We've been telling you guys about Built Bar for probably over a year now. The best tasting protein bar on the market. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all of their bars. And now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best with Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup, chocolate brownie chunk versus lemon almond cheesecake. Jordan, the lemon almond cheesecake is damn good, but I think I'm going to cast my vote for chocolate brownie chunk. That might be like my first and foremost favorite flavor of all of the great Built Bar flavors. So go to BuiltBar.com or to Bar_Built on Twitter to cast your vote. Remember to use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar.
I found it. I found the missing link. I found it. It's not Mark Eversley, but it's close, and Mark Eversley is linked. It's John Bryant.
Oh, John Bryant, the assistant coach.
Correct. He is good friends with Mike Schmitz. If you look at his Twitter account, even as most recently as October 28th, giving his buddy a shout out on his NBA draft coverage. Boom.
And John Bryant's the one who's been doing a good amount of work with the Bull, with the Bigs Bulls this season, right?
Yes, if he's the one that had Justin Patton, like, that's his, like, marquee success story.
Yeah, and in one of those, you know, Run With Us Bulls episodes on YouTube, there's a good segment of him working with Daniel Gafford. So, yeah, man, that checks out.
Need, like, the Stranger Things music over this as we talk through conspiracy theories. All right, Brogdon.
Wendell's trapped in the upside down, you guys.
Him and Lowry. They're both there, man. Quickly, let's talk about Malcolm Brogdon. I tried to reach out to Locked On Pacers host Tony East just to ask him, give me a ballpark of, like, what it would cost to acquire Brogdon. He goes, man, I honestly have no idea. So I would say something pretty high because he's making $20 million over the next 3 years. The only thing about him that concerns me at all, Matt, is just he's not on the floor consistently. And that's a huge problem this Bulls team has had. He's been injury prone, but he's a guy that was one of the top guys on our list. We were talking about free agents just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely a lot of heat backing a Brogdon deal among this fan base a couple years ago, and when instead the Bulls signed Sato and Thad. I didn't think it was very likely. I thought it would have been a tough pitch for the Bulls to make at the time, considering that they were an organization that was just the laughingstock of the league and not at all competitive. You know, and if Brogdon was going to leave a team as good as the Bucks, well, you know, he was probably going to want to go somewhere that was at least another playoff team, and that's what, you know, Indiana was. As of right now, I would say that he is the most exciting and enticing piece that might be available and might be attainable for the Bulls in the next 48 hours. I think he would be a great fit next to Zach LaVine, like a truly great fit. And then it all just comes down to price. What would it cost to get him? And I'm sure that if the Pacers are just kind of saying, ah, to hell with it this season and decide to be sellers, we've also heard some rumors that, you know, Sabonis might be, you know, on deck next if they do in fact trade Brogdon. They're not going to give him away for cheap. So what would you be willing to part with? I mean, Jordan, would you be willing to part with maybe two of the Bulls' younger quote-unquote core pieces and draft capital to get Malcolm Brogdon?
I would say yes if their path is we're committed to winning. And we're going to sign Zach this offseason. Malcolm Brogdon's on a solid contract for the next 3 years. Still keeps you in somewhat of a short-term plan, but at least this gets you to the next step. I think Bulls fans would rejoice, man. Like, this would be a huge move. Bulls fans can feel excited and positive about the Bulls taking another step in the right direction. As far as wanting to commit to win, I told you, man, I feel like it's a very difficult pitch to try to sell your fan base on another couple of years of having to rebuild before you're willing to pay to be competitive. The Bulls have a rising star in Zach LaVine right now, hitting his prime. They got to take advantage of that. They can't do the, I keep saying it, they can't do the same thing they did with Butler, trade away the guy and then watch him flourish in other places. Don't do that with Zach again. We're not in that spot. So adding Brogdon, man, I would be a huge fan, but if it's Markkanen and White or Carter and White, if that gets you into the conversation and other pieces have to be formed, I'm okay with that. But that is that enough to get Brogdon? I feel like it is, ma'am.
I don't know if it is. I think instead of the Bulls offering up two of their, you know, two of the trio of Kobe, Wendell, Lowry, you know, pick two of the three, you can have any two of the three, and then maybe a swap or, you know, throw in a second rounder. I don't know if that's enough. I don't know if that would be enough for Indy. I think they might prefer taking one of those guys and the Bulls' 2021 first round pick. I think that might be a more realistic ask. And honestly, even if it's that, to me, that's a steeper price if you're the Bulls, but I would still consider it. Yeah, there definitely are some quality potential franchise kind of players in this 21 draft class, and we get to watch, you know, a little bit more of them. Although, you know, sad ending for Cade Cunningham and OK State, who didn't make the Sweet 16. But I mean, at some point, you need to actually just put winning players around Zach. And as excited as we are about Patrick Williams, which, by the way, I finally today got my Patrick Williams City Edition jersey, and I could not be more excited. I have a feeling it might take the place on my hanger spot in my jersey section of my closet where my Lowry Marketing City Edition jersey is now. But, I mean, yeah, it would suck to have to give up a first-round pick year two into the new regime. But if it nets you Malcolm freaking Brogdon, I think I wouldn't hesitate, man.
I'm trying to come up with a deal that you wouldn't have to include Otto in, because Otto just kind of complicates things. It's the thing to go to quickly, but if you're trying to add multiple pieces to this, it's difficult because the Pacers can't take on as much money as the Bulls can, and Otto's contract is hefty. And like the weird thing is like the Pacers have guys that are on solid contracts, man. Adding to this deal, I think Justin Holiday would be a name too to be a part of this package if you are trying to quote unquote go for it or take a next step and start winning. He was a name that was rumored to be a part of the conversation of them signing this offseason before this season started. He's been a Bull before. He helped us out and grabbed us 2 second-round picks, so shout out to him. He got us what turned into Daniel Gafford. But it's difficult to find out a deal where you're not trading 4 or 5 different players off of the Pacers roster. But I would be, man, I'm all in if it just costs you, like you said, Carter or Markkanen and White. I think I'm all in. I don't know. How much do they value having their second-round pick? And maybe you can convince them to do a pick swap.
Yeah, I mean, pick swap, obviously, I think the Bulls would, you know, be wise to try to start with that instead of just immediately offering up their first-round pick in its entirety. You know, kind of makes you think back to the Jimmy trade where they couldn't even just get the pick. In addition to Dunn and LaVine, they had to give the pick swap, and a lot of Bulls fans thought, like, come on, man, really? That's the best you can do? But, the thing about it, and I kind of talked about this with Lowry and his poor shooting at the top of today's show, the fact that Wendell has just been not all that impressive. Kobe's had his struggles. Our buddy Mark Kay for Bulls HQ, I just saw this in my Twitter feed as we're wrapping up here. He lays it out pretty succinctly here. So the Bulls past 3 consecutive number 7 picks, their stats over the last 6 games. Lowry, 13-6 on 38% shooting, 29% from 3 in 29 minutes a game. Wendell, 7.8 points, 7.2 rebounds, 44% shooting in just 19 minutes a game. Kobe White, 10 points, 2.8 assists on 2.7 turnovers, 37% shooting, 32 from 3. Those are your 3 pieces that you're probably trying to put on the trade market over the next 48 hours, and that's those respective player stat lines over the last 6 games. Not ideal, as Mark K put it. God, man, it's going to be a tough sell that AK and Eversley have to make some moves in the next couple of days.
This would have to probably include a pick, but you send Carter, White, Satoransky, and Felicio to the Pacers, and you get back Brogdon, Holiday, and Bataze. It's probably going to have to include picks, but at least this gives them 3 pieces, 4 really, 4 young pieces to work around. Felicio expires. They could even cut him right away. It's just to make the salaries match. This works without having Otto in it. I just don't know if that's even remotely in the ballpark. The only reason why I include Bataze in this is because he's stuck behind Turner and Sabonis as far as being able to get some playing time. He's one of those young bigs we talked about a couple years ago. I think we ended up in one of our Locked On mock drafts. We ended up drafting him with a first round pick late in the 20s in one of those mock drafts we did a couple years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
This would be the only way without Porter being included. If Porter's included and you're just trying to dump the salary and that's what the Pacers are looking for to be able to maybe reload in free agency, then you have to include your 2021 or 2022 first round pick. Like, that's just not even a question. So, any interest in Oladipo real quick?
No. I mean,
Sounds like Stacey King. No.
Maybe if he doesn't love where he ends up, because it sounds like he is definitely going to get moved before this deadline. And if he doesn't love where he ends up, maybe you pursue him, you know, in free agency this summer. But no, I'm not throwing a whole lot at Victor Oladipo between now and Thursday.
Yeah, we can get him on the cheap. I'm cool with that. That's a buy low option. I don't even think it would cost. I don't even think it would cost you Lowry or Carter or White. But yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I can wait till the summer to see what he ends up wanting to get paid, and somebody will pay him. So this is fun, man. This is gonna be interesting over the next 48 hours or so. I'm hoping the Bulls do something, even if it's relatively small. I just hope they do something, but we will find out. Continue to send us your mailbag questions, your hypotheticals. We'll probably do that tomorrow. So if you want to drop us a voicemail, a text message, an email, a tweet, anything for tomorrow's mailbag, trade hypotheticals, even if you're thinking about something in the summer possibly, hit us up at 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Are you flat out kidding me?
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.